this act is also part and parcel of the Prevention of Food Adulteration Act of 1954. Up to a certain extent, this Prevention of Food Adulteration Act has been merged with the Food Safety and Standards Act. But for two situations, still you would be looking at the Prevention of Food Adulteration Act, though applicability is from the FASAI. And that applicability is that this act requires import of all edible food products to have a valid shelf life of not less than 60% of the original shelf life. Now, today you go to buy any food item, there is a shelf life declared. 3 months from date of manufacture, 6 months from date of manufacture, or 1 month of date from date of manufacture. There is a particular food item where it is only 48 hours from the date of manufacture. For example, milk products, khoya, within 48 hours it has got to be consumed. Now, these requirements are required to be adhered as per the Prevention of Food Adulteration Act. But execution takes place by FASAI. And the shelf life is calculated based on the declaration on the label of the product regarding its date of manufacture and the due date of for expiry. Compulsory part of labeling is date of manufacture has got to be declared for all the products. Expiry date has got to be declared on all the products. And by virtue of this particular act, any imported food item should have a shelf life of not less than 60% of the total shelf life of that particular product. It cannot have 100% because transportation from one country to another and time lag is always prevalent. But when they land over here, when it is being cleared by customs and FASAI people will check from the labels whether it has got 60% of the shelf life, so that the traders over here get sufficient time to move the goods, transport the goods, and sell it in the market. The next in the important sign again is Legal Metrology Packaged Commodities Rules. There is a Legal Metrology Act, but what is applicable is for all packaged commodities. And applicability is coming from the Legal Metrology Packaged Commodity Rules of 2011. The provisions of these rules are to protect the interest of the consumers from being cheated by unscrupulous merchants and traders from whom they purchase their day-to-day required products. If the packaging conditions are not adhered to, you may get a product where the shelf life has expired. And therefore, they require manufacturers, packers, and importers, first of all, to be registered and to compulsory declare the details of the commodities in all types of consumer packs. Mind you, this is not only food, not only medicines, drugs. They are being mentioned, okay. But all other commodities which are being sold in consumer packs, there also these rules are applicable. And again here, no wholesale dealer or retail dealer or importer shall sell, distribute, deliver, display or store for sale any commodity in the packaged form unless the package complies with in all respects the provisions of the Act and these rules. All respect means all respects. If they are not packaged, if they are not labeled as per these rules, they cannot be sold, they cannot be purchased, they cannot be imported also. No retail dealer or manufacturer, packer or importer, wholesale dealer shall make sale of any commodity in packed form at a price exceeding the retail sale price in the form. Government has declared that each product which is being sold in consumer pack, the retail sale price has got to be mentioned. And along with the retail sale price, separately, the tax or duty which has been applicable on that particular product has also got to be declared on the package. On the basis of per gram, where net quantity is less than 1 kilogram, and per kilogram, where the net quantity is more than 1 kilogram. Therefore, if you buy any consumer packed goods, you will observe that the rate per kg is mentioned or rate per gram is mentioned on the package. As far as textile and other paper products are concerned, per centimeter where the length is less than 1 meter and per meter when the length is more than 1 meter. This would be declared on packages of textile or paper or similar items like plastic also. Per millimeter where net volume is less than 1 millimeter. Per milliliter where net volume is less than 1 liter and per liter where the net volume is more than 1 liter. This is for liquid items. All liquid items, including water packaged form being sold. Where goods are being sold in per piece basis, then per number or unit of any item is sold by number or unit. These are compulsory requirements to be declared on the labels on each package which are being sold in consumer packs. Of course, these provisions shall not apply to the packages of commodities containing quantity of more than 25 kg or 25 liters, excluding cement and fertilizer sold in bags up to 50 kg. And packaged commodity meant for industrial consumers or institutional consumers. It basically means that if the goods are sold in bulk to an industry or to wholesalers being sold in bulk for repackaging them, then they are not required to be declared on the bulk packaging. Again, as far as exports are concerned, an export package shall not be sold in India. Many of you must have seen that when you sometimes go, you find roadside sellers saying, export goods, cheap export goods are available, cheap export goods, buy good quality. You feel that they are good quality of the goods because they were meant for export. But technically, they are not good quality, but they are export rejects. And therefore, DGFT and also government has declared, even under legal metrology rules, that such goods which have been packed for export, they cannot be sold in India. They have got to be exported. Or if due to any technical reason they cannot be exported and the manufacturer or wholesaler, they want to sell it in the local market, then the manufacturer or packer has to repack the goods, relabel the commodity in accordance with these legal metrology rules. Why? Because export packaging and labeling is totally different as per the requirements of the importing country. So those rules may not be applicable in India. If the same goods are being sold over here, they have got to be repacked, relabeled as per the declarations which are required to be given under these particular rules. Now, in order to train the wholesalers, manufacturers, or the people, their staff who are handling consumer packed goods, there is an Indian Institute of Legal Metrology governed by Indian Institute of Legal Metrology rules of 2011. They have got certain obligatory functions, and the obligatory functions of the institute is to facilitate training. As a corollary to their training function, they prepare, print, or publish books, manuals, or other documents of legal metrology. They install in their premises such instruments or maintain laboratories. They prepare and implement schemes to stimulate universities and colleges to impart basic education in legal metrology. They prepare schemes for studies with regard to the institutional, legal, and administrative framework relating to legal metrology. And they establish relation and cooperation with any other agencies to give training in legal metrology. And establish and maintain a library to encourage in study of and research in legal metrology and all allied branches of knowledge. Basically, the function of this particular rule is to impart training in legal metrology for all those who are handling consumer products in consumer packs. Next, let us look at international standards for phytosanitary measures. As I told you that this is not only a standard in India, but it is an international standards applicable throughout the world. All countries are following this standards. And therefore, in India, we also follow these standards by virtue of your food safety and standards, by drug acts, etc., etc., etc. We are also following the standards. And therefore, let us look at some of the standards which are being followed by us, which are compulsory, required to be followed by us in India as far as imports and exports are concerned. These standards require implementation of phytosanitary requirements in import or export of goods. And the sanitary aspect, that is for food safety. And phytosanitary aspect, that is for animals and plant health. Measures are enforced to prevent the spread and introduction of any pests of plant products or insects, or any fungus and for the protection of human, animal, or plant life or health. They are mainly applicable to the safety and standards for human beings, for animals, for plants, and for individual health of these respective products. We have sanitary for food, we have phytosanitary for animal and plant health. We have discussed the sanitary level for food under the food safety and standards and prevention of food adulteration. Phytosanitary also we have partly dealt, we will also deal subsequently. Here FASAI or plant quarantine officers, they have to verify whether the import-export goods comply with ISPM or they are accompanied by a phytosanitary certificate with the treatment endorsed. Now, treatment is required to be given. In case of animals, it is a vaccination treatment. In case of plant, there is a fumigation treatment. The treatment has got to be endorsed on the certificate and certificate issued by the agencies which are accredited, certified by the Directorate of Plant Protection, Quarantine and Storage under the Department of Agriculture and Cooperation. It means that at the time of import, they are inspected. The certificates are checked. Sometimes testing is also done by either FASAI officers for food items or plant quarantine officers for any other plant products. But here there is one more basic aspect involved. That is as far as exports are concerned. Exports to most countries including Canada, USA, Australia, Japan, etc. These are all developed countries, mind you. And exports to these countries require that all wood packaging material used in packaging of export commodity are to be rendered free from all pests, either by heat treatment or by fumigation by methyl bromide. That is, fumigation has got to be done by accredited fumigation agencies for methyl bromide fumigation and or certified heat treatment facilities for the wood packaging material as per ISPM 15. Look at the situation over here. What this basically means, that if a machinery is being exported out, now that machinery, you don't have ISPM applicable at all because they are all electrical or electronic machinery or heavy capital goods made out of various metals. So therefore, the machinery itself, this is not applicable. But if the machines are being exported by packaging of wood and wood products, then that wood packaging material has got to be treated as per ISPM 15. And the consignment has got to carry a certificate issued by the accredited agency that yes, fumigation has been done on the wood and there are no pests or weevils attacking the wood. Mind you, all the countries are not sticking to this because this is a costly procedure. It entails additional cost, but all developed countries and some of the developing countries, they are insisting on this. Maybe poor countries, they are not insisting in various stages because they would want a cheaper material, and therefore they may say that, yes, overrule this, we don't want this test to be carried on. So they may not need the fumigation certificate. But more and more countries are now coming out that they insist, exporters are insisting on this type of certification for all packaged material. Next, we will now look at the intellectual property rights on imported goods enforcement rules, IPR. Now, let me clarify one thing very straightforward over here. This IPR is being insisted upon more and more by developed countries like Europe and America. Why? Because they are selling goods on their brand name, and the value of their goods is increased because of that respective brand. And therefore, they are insisting that IPR rights are available to them. And therefore, in India, for imported goods, we have got the intellectual property rights enforcement rules. Now, how does this come into play? Let me give you a small example over here. All branded products carry a royalty amount to be paid to the brand owner, not to the product, but to the brand name only. As a practical corollary to this whole thing, let me explain another situation over here. Most of you young generation would like to go and visit McDonald's for having your breakfast or having all types of foods. You say, yes, McDonald's is a high level, high field restaurant where we can go and have all our eatables. But are you aware that when you buy a burger from McDonald's, you consume a burger, and whatever amount you pay for that particular burger, a certain percentage of that amount is not used for producing and preparing that burger, but just because of the word McDonald's, a certain percentage of the amount which you are paying for McDonald's burger is being transferred to a person in either America or Europe who is named as McDonald or who has registered this trademark to be used throughout the world. Who is the right holder? And just because he has registered the name, brand name as Burger, in that particular Burger, McDonald Burger, which you are consuming, so the amount which you are paying for the product, it is not totally for the product, it is partly for the brand which is being paid to some person for no rhyme or reason. It's only because McDonald name has been used. This is not only for McDonald's. I'm just giving you a practical example because most of you prefer to go and eat in McDonald's. But any branded product is having a value addition on account of the brand name. And that is the reason why we have got IPR, imported goods enforcement rules. What is the applicability? Goods infringing intellectual property rights means any goods which are made, reproduced, put into circulation, or otherwise used in breach of the intellectual property law in India or outside India, and without the consent of the right holder. As I told you, for McDonald's Foods, the right holder is one McDonald sitting somewhere in America or Europe, or a person duly authorized to do so by the right holder. That right holder has authorized your outlet, McDonald's outlet person over here, to collect the royalty and send it to him. So he's a duly authorized person to collect the royalty and transfer it. Who is a right holder? Right holder means a natural person or a legal entity which, according to the laws in force, is to be regarded as the owner of protected intellectual property right. Protected means that it has been registered, and his successors entitled or duly authorized exclusive licensee. These McDonald's outlets are licensees of that right holder. As well as an individual, a corporation, or an association authorized by any of the aforesaid persons to protect their rights. Let's understand what is intellectual property. It means a copyright, all copyrights, defined in the Copyright Act 1957. It means a trademark. Most of the products you must have seen are with the trademark. Trademark as defined in the Trademarks Act. Patent. Goods are patented, and the patent is registered under the Patents Act 1970. Designs, product design as defined in the Designs Act. Then geographical indications as defined in the Geographical Indications of Goods Registration and Protection Act of 1999. These are all termed as an intellectual property. What is the meaning of intellectual property law? It means the Copyright Act, the Trademarks Act, the Patents Act, the Designs Act, the Geographical Indication of Goods Registration and Protection Act. These acts are the law and the applicability is arising known as the property. How are they enforced? The right holder may give notice in writing to the Commissioner of Customs at the port of import of goods where there's an infringing intellectual property rights. Of course, if it is there no infringement, then no, they will not give any notice or complain in writing to the Commissioner of Customs. It will be allowed freely. But where the right holder feels that it is being infringed and he is not getting the required royalty which he is required to get, then he may file a complaint with the Commissioner of Customs. And the Customs Department will examine the import of the alleged infringing goods into India and then declare such goods to be deemed as prohibited goods within the meaning of Section 11 of Customs Act 1962. That means if the goods are found to be actually infringing the IPR, then they will be declared as prohibited goods. And then such goods which have infringed the IPR they are confiscated under Section 111 of Customs Act. They're confiscated by the customs, not allowed for clearance. Next, we will look at the Drugs and Cosmetics Act. All of you must have heard FDA. And even before I discuss any part of this act, you must have observed that any drug or any cosmetics which you buy, the packing on the carton and the inside bottle or tube contains certain information which are all compulsory information as required to be declared under this Drugs and Cosmetics Act. And as far as authority is concerned, the authority is the Food and Drug Administration, FDA. FDA India is the authority. Originally, Food and Drug Administration were authority for both food and drugs, both. But after the arrival of FSSAI, Food Safety and Standards Authority, then authority for food went over to FSSAI, and now FDA is having authority only for drugs and cosmetics, including Ayurvedic and any other forms of drugs and cosmetics. This act regulates the import, manufacture and distribution of all drugs in India. The primary objective being that it is to ensure that the drugs and cosmetics sold in India are safe, effective, and conform to certain quality standards. That is the basic requirement. The Act also includes Ayurvedic and Unani drugs. It covers all types of drugs. What are the requirements under this act? Import of following drugs or cosmetics are totally prohibited. One, misbranded drugs, adulterated drugs, spurious drugs, misbranded cosmetics, spurious cosmetics. Now, what is the meaning of misbranded? Misbranded means the brand which has been declared is not the content within that package. Content is not properly declared in the package. That is misbranded. Adulterated means whatever the content is having certain foreign body which may be harmful. Spurious also means it's a form of adulteration. So these are the items which are not allowed for import. They are totally prohibited. No means no. Banned means totally banned. Thank you.